morning, everyone. Here in the sanctuary, in the parking lot, and on Facebook. Glad to have everybody with us. So if you will, turn in your hymnals to hymn number 485. Hymn number 485, stand up for Jesus.
Good to see you. Thank you. We're glad you're here this morning. We wish we had more, but I know each one's have the reason for not being here or can't be here. Some can't be here because they've passed on. Some are very sick and in their physical body, but well in their spirit. So we just pray for those that have needs in our church family. Continue to pray for the bishop, Miss Wilma Bishop, and Sister Vanessa and Kay and all the whole family, Brother Fred and many others. They're on our prayer list and on our hearts. Continue to remember Nathan Bowen. His brain tumor was malignant. He's going to have maybe some surgery and then probably treatments, but continue to remember him. Continue to remember Zachary Bowen, who was involved in a four-wheeler accident last week, before last now. So many on our prayer list, and many, I'm saying maybe 50 to 100 people on our prayer list. And the list is right up here if you'd like to take one, just to pray for people, for salvation. You know, I know a lot of people are sick with this virus. A lot of people are dying with it. But the great concern for me, and it should be for everyone, and for our pastor, I know he's concerned, that's why we made the list, is those that are dying without Christ. You know, eternally they're condemned, the Bible says. in hell without any, no solution. It's going to be permanent forever and ever. And I don't know how long ever and ever is because I've never been there. I've only been here a few years compared to ever and ever. Just a little drop in the bucket. But remember those in our prayer list, especially the sick and especially the lost. Those are that are, know you not, know not the Savior that we're speaking of. We talk to them. They don't. Some of them don't know what you're talking about. Even though we live in the Bible Belt, they don't know what we're talking about. So remember those when you pray. Remember our deacons. Remember our pastor as we're trying to work through all this. The best thing to do for you and the best thing to do for the church. But we have to go on, folks. Christ went on. He went on and on and on as long as they would let him. Then they took him to the cross. But you know what? He's still going on. He arose from the dead. And he promises us the same thing. If we die before he returns, he'll call us out from the grave. If we're here when he returns, we'll go with him. Isn't that a great promise?
Amen.
So just remember those requests. I'll tell you so you won't pass out when the pastor tells you. We're going to have a short business meeting this morning. That's about the only way we could figure out we could get quorum to be here and get you here. We don't want to call you back into the church just for a business meeting. That's why we haven't been having them. But Brother Frank will come during that time and give you a report on the finances of the church. And I don't know if we're going to be able to put it on the board, a screen or not, but deacons all got a copy of the finances for last month and for every month, and we're doing well considering we're not being able to come to church much. With all that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him to bless this service and be with Brother Gary as he leads us and Sister Nancy as she plays for us and everyone that has a part in today in our church. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for dying for us. We weren't worthy, but you made us worthy. We weren't good enough, but you made us good enough. We weren't holy, but you make us holy. In fact, your word says if we are of you, we're saints. We're saints of the kingdom. Sometimes I don't feel like a saint, but I don't have to feel like it. We don't go by feelings. We go by your what you did for us on the cross and your death and your resurrection and your Holy Spirit that you left to be with us and speak to us each day to guide us to do right and to guide us when we're doing wrong. And we just thank you, Lord, for those things. We thank you, Lord, for our church family. We thank you for those that are here this morning, those in the parking lot, those that are on Facebook, and we just pray for the many needs of our church and church family, for it's asunder of numbers, people that need your touch. We always need you, but sometimes we have to have a special touch, and we are praying for that today for those people. And we thank you for our pastor and for his family. We just ask you to be with us this week as we go together and celebrate Thanksgiving with our families, and thank God we can do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that we can do that. But there are some who are trying to dispel that and tell us that we can't have over 10 people in the household. And if you do that, they're going to come count the number in your house, but not here, but in some places. And thank God we don't live there. And there's some places that the sheriffs of the counties and cities are saying, we're not going to do that. The people have a right to do that. And so just continue doing, Lord, what we know and what you've told us and what you allow us. And we just thank you so much for this season of Thanksgiving. And we should have it every day. We should have a Thanksgiving every morning that we get up and we rise and we're able to go and do. And every night before we go to sleep, just thanking you for the day. But we forget those things sometimes, Lord. Because we're human. We're not you. We're not even like you, but we want to look like you and be like you and talk like you and walk like you, and help us to do that, that others would know that we are Christians, little Christs, going about telling the world of your goodness, your mercies, and your grace. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's turn in our hymnals now to hymn number 227. 227. Praise Him, praise Him. Let's all stand as we sing.
For your help. Good morning. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 3. All right. You can still turn to Philippians chapter 3. That's going to be our main docking area. But we're also going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll refer to that back throughout the scripture. Philippians 3, 2 Corinthians 11.
Now, since we are in the Thanksgiving season and all while move around here. Has anybody got anything they'd like to say they'd be thankful for this morning?
Thank God I'm above the ground.
I'm thankful that I'm here in church, and I'm thankful that I'm a new creature now, and I'm thankful that God guided me and directed me in it.
Amen.
I praise His name.
Amen.
Anybody else? Amen. Yeah. Anyone else? Amen. Don't want to cut nobody off.
All right. Amen.
All righty. There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be mine. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Why don't you just raise your hands right now and say, cry with your heart, worthy is the Lamb. Just say it. Worthy is the Lamb. There is no God like our God. He's in control, and I don't have to worry. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Don't you feel better? It is. It's good to know it's not our responsibility right now. Our responsibility is to serve Him. As you're turning to Philippians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it's good to be with you today. So thankful you made the effort to come out. Could have been a lot of stuff that hindered you from being within the house today here at Thomas Village Baptist Church. Same thing, whether you're watching us by Facebook. I know sometimes it's just easier to lay in the bed and be on Facebook flipping and searching and stalking people and all that kind of stuff. As you're turning to Philippians 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But thank you for letting us be a part of your worship service today. Those of you that's outside in the parking lot, we're glad that you're here with us. And then also, it's good to see every one of you in the church today. I'm thankful. There's more here than was last Sunday, and I pray we're going to continue to grow and grow and grow. There's a way for us to worship together wisely in the midst of this. But I'm going to say this, as you're turning to Philippians 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I see the end of the tunnel coming. Amen. They've got the vaccine out, depending on those in authority, how much control they want to hold over this thing and all that. But we're going to be back to normal again. And we give God the praise for that today. But if I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be Pressing On. Pressing On. But if you don't remember anything else as you're finding your place in Philippians 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to remember these three, 11, yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I was wondering how long it was going to take me to mess up on them. I can barely do good with one passage on Sunday mornings. Now I'm trying to throw two in there. Who do I think I am? Or have I got a master's degree now or something? I mean, what in the world? But remember these three things. Nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things. And you know what? The Bible says he's near to the brokenhearted. And he's but a whisper away. Sometimes I believe he's but a grunt away. You know what I mean? The Bible says that it makes the Spirit makes intercessions for us. Okay, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. Let's read over in, let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and then we'll flip over to Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 of Philippians. So if you would stand with me in the honor of God's Word, we're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. If I had a title for today's message, it would be simply this, Pressing On. Pressing On. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in wilderness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. Besides these, besides all of this, that's outside, or that's beyond my control, or going on around me, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now this is Paul, but then flip over there to the book of Philippians as we consider pressing on. Turn over there to Philippians, same man writing here, Philippians chapter 3. Look there in verse 12. We're actually going to look on back to verse 10, but we'll just read this for time's sake. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated, pressing on as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, you know my heart, my mind, you know my emotional state, you know my emptiness, and you know my inadequacies. And Lord, you know that I'm a sinner, and that I need the forgiveness of sin. And I thank you for the blood that's been applied and stays applied over my life. But I just confess a fresh need. I confess to you the need for the Holy Spirit today. Confess to you my weakness. God, I'm thankful to be here, and I'm thankful that in my weakness, the Spirit reveals His strength. And so, God, today we invite you, Holy Spirit, to reveal your strength to every one of us. Let us come to the realization of our own weakness, our own frailty. But God, I ask you right now, Spirit, blow through this place. Change us. Blow through Facebook. Blow through the parking lot. We pray for those that can't be with us today, such as Brother Wayne and other ones. But God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. If you'll meet with us, we will be forever grateful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Again, it is good to see you here today and to be with you. And just to let you know, this morning's message, usually there's very seldom a message that I preach that God does not use to deal with me. I mean, you know, many times I've told you, I've already got my whipping before I got into the pulpit because God had already did this. But today's message is going to be a little bit different. Because I just want to go ahead and I'm going to confess to you this morning that I am in a spiritually down place.
If there's ever been a time to quit, this would be the time to quit. You know what I mean? I know that's just talk. I'm not going to quit in Jesus' name. But, you know, just sometimes you just get to that point, you know. You get to that place. But God started, the Holy Spirit started preaching to me about Friday using these scriptures. And I've not put it all together yet. So basically what you're going to hear today is you're going to hear how the Holy Spirit is preaching to me. And I pray that God uses it to encourage you. I pray that He uses it to lift you up. But praise God, sometimes we just got to have somebody pat us on the back, maybe even put a boot to a rump and say, press on until things change. Amen? And so today that's what I want to talk to you about. Let's look at these scriptures here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Basically, Paul is giving an account to the Corinthians. We know he's already had dealings with the church at Corinth, but there's some false teachers that's come in, and they're starting to rag on Paul a little bit. They're trying to question his resume and his sincerity, you might say, Sister Vicki, and different things like that. And without trying to be very braggarty, he simply lays out what he's suffered because of his relationship with Christ. This time I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. 5 times I have received 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once received, was I stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've spent a night and a day in the open sea. I mean, just that right there, that this man lived through spending a night and day out in the open waves. It's just an awesome thing. And that most of us would have no idea what it would be like to go through something like that. But listen, there in verse 26, he says, on frequent journeys, I face dangers because of rivers, robbers, my own people, foreigners, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, at sea, false brethren. I've had sleepless nights. There's nights I've been hungry, I've been thirsty, and I've been cold without clothing. I mean, it's just been tough. And then on top of all that, he says, everything that's without, then I'm burdened for the church, just like you would be for your family. You know what I mean? I got everything else going on, and then I got to worry about my own people. Got to worry about my family. And I just want to be honest with you, as I thought about this and God brought to me 195 licks from a whip. 5 times he was beaten with rods and limbs. He was stoned. He was had 3 shipwrecks. And then we know he had other issues with Gentiles and Jews and all that. But they say that Paul was probably so physically worn that if Paul was walking away from you and you called brother Paul, you said, "Hey, Paul," Paul could not have turned his neck. He'd had to turn his whole body. That's how beaten his body was. And I'm telling you, I'm 42, I think 44. Amy says 42, somewhere in there, old enough that the body don't work like it should. And I'm telling you, you can see how it builds up. And think about that. Just 190 some odd licks, what that would have done to his body. And he's in all that. Now, as I read that and I thought about 2020, God's blessed me that he's let me have the joy of the Holy Ghost through most of 2020. He has. I've been very blessed. It's been hard. Things around the church has been hard. I'll be honest with you, I know we've not done everything right around this church, and some people may be mad that we've not did it the way they expected they should be treated, but I promise you this, me and your deacons and some others have worked as hard or harder to make sure that the gospel is going out, because that's been our number one concern. Have we made mistakes? Would there be things that we would do over again? Probably, yeah, and we're learning as we go along. But we have done our best to make sure that this church continues and that the gospel goes forth. And God has blessed us in that. But I'm just going to be honest with you. Over these past few weeks, this past week has been one of those weeks. It's been one of them tough ones. I mean, last Sunday it began with Brother Keith Roach leaving out of here with a burning in his chest. 12 hours later, they're in there cutting his T-shirt off of him because he thinks he's having a heart attack. He's got to have a heart cath. Praise God, today he's doing better. He's probably out there in the parking lot. And you know what I told my wife? I said, "That's my friend. I don't like him being in the hospital." That's just my conversation with my wife. I said, "That's my buddy. I don't like my buddy being in the hospital." Then I got a phone call that a man that I had befriended and married him and his wife and led him to the Lord, and he killed himself this week. And just don't make sense, you know what I mean? Then the next day, I thank God for Brother Wayne, because Brother Wayne, I was like, he said, "You want me to teach for tomorrow night?" I was like, "God, thank you, Lord, for Brother Wayne. I don't want to stand up there and fake a smile Wednesday night." "Yeah, Brother Wayne, I'd love for you to do it." And Brother Wayne did one of the greatest jobs I think he'd ever done in his life Wednesday night. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, something happens, and basically he has amnesia now. You know what he said about me? He asked if he had a friend named Brian. And Tammy said, "Yes, he has a friend named Brian." And she showed him a picture of me, and you know what he had the audacity to say? He said his friend Brian needed to shave his beard off. I said, you tell Wayne he don't know how much ugly is behind that beard. But that son of a gun to eat a hamburger. All he wants is meat and bread. And so I got him a hamburger, a double bacon cheeseburger. Took it up there because I thought they was going to let me go into it. And so we FaceTimed, though, because they didn't let me see it. And you know, last thing I said, "Wayne," I said, "you know, we're such good buddies that I ate 4 your french fries out of your thing that I'm sending up there to you." And thank God he should be coming home today. Isn't that awesome? What a blessing that is that God gave us that. And then Friday, Sister Vanessa's mother, unless God does something, she had a stroke and she's not long for this. And I've talked to Sister Vanessa. I've texted with them. And then last night, Sister Denise Mosher's daughter, Danielle, was having complications due to things. And so they took her over there. And then Sister Brother Ken got a kidney stone this week. He was throwing up. And then Josh Lester, y'all know Brother Josh, his whole household has COVID. And I just want to be honest with you. This week is one of those weeks where I just had to say, the flesh wants to say, "What's the point? What's the purpose?" But listen, Paul was beaten 195 times, had thrown stones, everything, all that thrown at him. And you know, during this week, these are my friends. I'd say, "Lord, I don't understand. I don't like it when they're in the hospital. Lord, if you would stop all this mess, if you would please let some things go back to normal." And you know what? He didn't give me what I wanted every time. He didn't give me what I answered, but he gave me this right here. And honestly, he is letting me see the end of the tunnel. He's letting me see it. But you know what? Any life for a Christian is not going to be an easy life. We are going to have these difficulties. That's why at times we don't just do it out of feeling. We don't do it out of anything other than duty. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. I don't feel good. I don't like it. But I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my job. And you know what, Christians? It may not be going the way it should or the way we want it around this world. But we got two choices. We're going to stand here and we're going to take what they try to shove down our throats. Or either we're going to step up and we may not like it, but we're going to serve the Master and we're going to press on until He comes back. Amen? And we got to make that choice. Listen, Peter, he was crucified upside down. Nero killed him. Andrew, Peter's brother, he was killed in the city of Patras in 60 A.D. Philip was stoned and beheaded. Bartholomew, it says that he was beheaded and filleted. Thomas was stabbed in India. Matthew was stoned and burned. James, the just, was pushed from the temple's pinnacle, and that didn't kill him, so they beat him to death with clubs. Jude was martyred in Syria on his missionary's journey with Simon the Zealot. And only John the Baptist, we know, is the only one that died of early age. What can we say? We can say that they had a difficult life, that living for Jesus, even not living for Jesus, life can be difficult. But when we live for Jesus, it can become a little bit more difficult. But then we read Paul, and this is what we're going to end with. Then we read Paul, and all we're going to read today is Paul. But then we read Paul over in 2 Timothy, and you know what he's saying? He's looking at the guillotine. Body broken and beaten. Can't turn his head. And he's writing to him, and you know what he said? He says, he's saying this, and he's looking forward to death. He's looking forward to seeing his Savior. You know what he said? I've fought the good fight. I've ran the right course, and I'm finished. Hey, praise God, after you being hit 195 times, you sure must have got a hold of something, or something surely has got a hold of you that's bigger than this world and all that it has to offer. Amen. And I'm here today to say thank you, God, that Jesus has got a hold of me. And when I don't feel like pressing on, I can still press on in Jesus' name. You see, Paul had got a hold in his mind. While that his life was certainly not easy, after we've read all of that, Paul has done grabbed a hold of something and was able to keep something into focus. And if we can keep that into focus, it will make our days better and more blessed. One, that his Creator loved him enough to come and be identified as his own brother in the flesh. That Jesus came into creation to handle his problem, sin, which he couldn't handle himself. He was willing to suffer and took punishment for Paul. He had given Paul a right standing with his Creator. For Paul, he went and said, I'm going to go make a place for you that you can be with me forever. And also, I'm going to have you a brand new body minus all the pain and the sin that's with it. And forever and ever, you're going to spend an eternity with me. And that's why and reason why Paul could say, I've been beaten 195 times, but you know what? I press on. And today, if we can catch a hold of reality that Jesus loves us the same amount that he loved Paul, and that everything he's done for Paul, he's done for us, and at any moment now, the eastern sky could split, and he could say, come home, praise God, then we can say, I'm going to press on. Even though I don't see it, I'm going to press on even though I don't feel it. I'm going to press on even though all of the world around me tells me that I'm a fuddy-duddy and I'm of an ancient time. I'm going to press on. Why? Because something's laid hold of me. And you know that's not just country talk when I say something laid hold of me, because we're going to look at it in just a second, okay? But eye has not seen nor ear heard what our Savior has in store for us. Press on. Press on. Why? All the turmoil, all the difficulty, the division, the global, national, and personal battles. You know what that is? That's an attack from the devil right now. He is doing his best to keep our focus on anything but victory in Jesus. Everything. We can talk about it. We can discuss it, but I promise you this. You remember last week I asked you about your pie chart during your week and how much is Jesus filled up in that pie chart? Can I tell you this? The more your pie chart of your conversation and stuff, the more it begins to be filled up with topics around Jesus, the more joy and peace there will be in your life. You know that? I dare you to try it. The more you keep Jesus the focus, talking, singing, studying, serving for Him, maybe not just out there preaching, but doing something for others in His name, the more you do that, the more peace and joy you'll have in your life, and the less you'll focus on all the rigmarole that's going on around us. You want to have a heart attack? You want to have your mind just go on the blink? Pay too much attention to the world around us right now. It will drive you crazy. We must make a deliberate effort to consciously keep our minds on Jesus. Again, listen. 195 licks from a whip, 5 times beaten with limbs, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a day and night out in the ocean, and all that other stuff. And all of that happened before Philippians chapter 3. And listen what he says again in Philippians chapter 3. My goal, Philippians 3 beginning in verse 10 now, okay? My goal, even though I've been beaten 195 times, I've been whipped 5 times with rods, I've been stoned, I've been bit by snakes, I've been in the cold, I've had friends despitefully use me, I've had countrymen try to kill me, foreigners have tried to kill me, all of that. In spite of all that, Philippians 3:10, my goal is to know Jesus. and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, assured that I will somehow reach the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Remember somebody laid hold of me? I have been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. Verse 13, Philippians 3:13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. Really, the interpretation there should be Him, because the object that we want to lay our hands on is not the pearly gates. It's not the brand new house. You know what it is? It is Him. We will lay our hands on Him. Ain't that good? We will lay our hands on Him. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue my goal. The prize promised by God, God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. As Paul had to do over in 2 Corinthians, you remember, he had to do his resume for them. And that's when he talked about all this bad stuff. I've been beat 195 times. I've wrecked ships, bent night, all that. Well, guess what? False prophets are also there in Philippi. And they're trying to run down Paul. And so again, what he does is he again kind of has to go back to his resume. But this time, instead of going back to the bad things, he goes back to what we would say were positives. You remember, if you look over in the same chapter of Philippians right there, he says, I'm a Jew of a Jews, circumcised on the eighth day as the law has required, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a powerful an upcoming individual in the Sanhedrin, and I was very forceful when it came to this false religion of Christianity and had them killed. And a lot of these things would have been beneficial in his life, especially in politics and dealing with the Jewish leadership, and then also him being Roman, having Roman citizenship. He could have been a big wig and all that. But listen what he says about that. And the same can be true about the bad, the 195 lit lashes and all that. Look there in verses 8 and 9. Moreover, of Philippians 3, moreover than that, I consider everything to be loss in view of surpassing the value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of Him I have suffered the loss of everything and consider them what? To be what? Dung. Human or animal waste, so that I can be found in Him, not having my righteousness, but His righteousness. Listen, he's saying, hey, I'm going to press on. The good and the bad, I leave them behind. They are of no worth. The only thing, he says, there's two goals in my life. It's not to skate through life. It's not to be a big wig with the Sanhedrin. It's not to have so much money that he could retire when he turned a certain age. It wasn't so that he could start a Christian Bible college or anything like that. Notice what he says his two goals in life were there in verses 10 and 12 of Philippians 3. He states it right at the beginning. Goal number one, right here. My goal is to what? Know Jesus. How many of us wake up every day in the day and think this? Because remember, there's everything out there trying to get our focus, right? Let's do a recount and all this mess and this senator's got to win and all this. There's so much. Even family issues. But Paul says, my number one goal is to know Jesus. You want to have a peace in your life? You want to be able to press on? Make knowing Jesus your number one goal. If you look at that word know in the Greek, it is ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It means to recognize, gain information, and become familiar with through personal experience. Meaning that if we're going to press on in the face of hardship, then we must be committed to knowing our Savior better by personal experience. He wants it so much, He was willing to come and die on the cross and live 33 years. But not only that, when He left, He said, I'm going to send back some of myself. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit in you. I'm going to give you the Bible. I'm going to give you prayer time. I'm going to give you the church. I'm going to give you the people in the church. Why? Because I want you to know me. I want that to be your number one goal, is to know me. You want to have some joy. You want to have some hope this morning. You want to look out in the world and not just see despair. Then get to know Jesus. Because nobody loves you like He loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as He's done for you. Paul says this, I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. Praise God, you know there's coming a day when I'll get a brand new body up out of the grave, and it won't be my grave anymore. It'll be my was grave, my used to grave. It won't be mine. I won't have any need of it anymore because I'm going to be a part of the resurrection. But I want you to notice something else. Paul said, not only do I want to know Him, I want to know Him good enough that I can experience the resurrection. But what's the next thing he says? And the fellowship, or to take part in what? His sufferings. If you're a Christian today, all those things I just went through, those things that's dragging me down, trying to pull me into depression, and you've got them. You've got them. Those situations, you know what they are? That's the fellowship of His sufferings. You're suffering for Jesus. Because you know why? Because in the midst of that, that things aren't going your way at work, that the person you voted for didn't get put into office, that you got to be quarantined for 14 days. You know what? People's watching and they're seeing when your relative's laying there sick on the deathbed, are you still going to be able to say, worthy is the Lamb? I don't like it. I don't like my friends in the hospital. I don't like that they're not feeling good. It breaks my heart. But worthy is the Lamb. Can we do that? Because see, that's a part of suffering with Him. Me looking at Wayne saying, don't you know me, man? This is me. There's only one of me. How long is it going to be before he recognizes me the way he should? Worthy is the Lamb. Seated on the throne. He's got a plan. And my goal is to know Him. And you know what? He's using this. I don't like it. It ain't no fun, but worthy is the Lamb, and through this, I'm going to know Him better. My goal is to know Him in the power of His resurrection. Amen. We want that, don't we? But also in the sufferings. You know what? There's some of you out there right now, you'll go anywhere you want to go, except when it comes to church. And people's watching you. And they've been watching to see, will they stay committed when they get to go back, or are they just going to fall back into the same way? And again, if you don't agree with the way we've done things, praise God, but you need to be in a church somewhere. You need to find a church somewhere. You can come tell me what you think we did wrong, but praise God, come here and tell me. People are going to see, are we going to be able to honor and praise Him? When laws begin to get passed in our country that we don't like, are we going to run down the people, or are we going to say, worthy is the Lamb? He's in control. How did Paul press on? You know what I mean? That's what we're looking at this morning, because we need to. Well, first thing, he recognized who he was. He's a child of God. He realized what all Jesus Christ had died for him. Then he recognized what his goal was. He said, my goal is to know Jesus, and that means I'm going to have to know Him by the aspects of His resurrection, but I'm also going to have to know Him by the aspects of the suffering that comes along with it. But not only does he say, I want to know Him, he's got a second part to his goal, don't he? Let me read it to you out of King James, because I like the way it puts it. And then I'm going to put it in Gunner 101, okay? 101, if it was a college class. It's verse 12, the latter part. If that I may apprehend that for which I was also apprehended of Jesus, Christ Jesus. If I was going to write it, this is the way I'd put it. That I may lay hands on that for which also Jesus laid his hands on me. See what I'm saying? Jesus has already picked me. He's already chose me. He's already called me. His Spirit lives within me. He's guiding me. He's leading me. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. Well, I will literally put my arms around him and I will hug him. And there is coming a day that he, my Savior, with the scars in his hands, will wrap his arms around me and he'll say, "Welcome home." That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Why do I press on? Because I've got a goal. And my goal is to know my Jesus. And I'm going to know him so good that one day I'm going to see him and he's going to hug me. I'm going to hug him. And I ain't a man kisser, but he may even kiss me and I may even kiss him. He said, "I got to know him. I got to see him. I got to be with him. I'll take the 195 licks." Praise God today. I don't like that Wayne's sick. I don't like that Kay and Vanessa's dealing with what their mama's going through. I didn't like it when Brother Keith was in the hospital or Pansy and going on, and Brother Otis has his dizzy spells at times. But I'm going to stay with them. I'm going to stick with them. Why? Because God's put them with me in this battle. And we're going to press on. And we're going to know him. And praise God, we're going to lay our hands on him one day, and he's going to lay his hands on us one day. And that's a reason to keep going, amen? That's a reason to get up in the morning. And you know what? You know how he says he's going to press on? He says, "I forgive those things which are behind me." You know what means? 30 seconds is behind me. I can't do nothing about that. I can worry about it. I can be mad about it. I can complain about it. I can protest because of it. But nothing I can do is going to change it. I can do nothing about that situation. The only thing that I can do in the midst of the situation is determine whom I'm going to be. And as a child of a living God, in this situation, I'm going to press on for his glory. I'm going to try to look like him. I'm going to try to love like him. I'm going to try to act like him. Because I'm going to let it all go, good and bad. Why? Because I'm going to lay my hands on him one day. I'm going to touch him one day. He's got a home waiting for me one day. And you know what? We don't get it right now. In our minds, we're like, is it worth it to continue on? Do you know what? This is what's so amazing. When we stand in glory that day and we behold Jesus, number one, you know what? You could take away the gold streaks, Brother Frank. You could take away all the other stuff. But we would look at Jesus and you know what we would say? More than worth it. I'd do it again and again and again just for him. That's how awesome our Jesus is. Ain't that good? I think the deacons, I'll tell you, the deacons prayed over me this morning. I can tell it. But ain't it good? But notice what he said, and I'm going to shorten it down. It didn't go near as deep as I wanted to go this morning, but the Spirit's here. He's moving, and he got whooped. He got beat, didn't he? But then he said, you know what? When it happens, it is what it is. I can't help what's behind me. All I can do is control who I am in the midst of it. Worthy is the Lamb. It's going to take me suffering, but he's worth it. It's going to be good times. It's going to be worth it. But I want you to look. I want you to look at what he says at the end of his life. He had a goal. He had a way to accomplish. Forget which is behind. Press on to that which is ahead so I can lay hands on him who has laid hands on me. Right? He had a plan. I want to know him and I want to lay hands on him. The way I'm going to do it, I'm going to forget what's behind me and I'm going to press on towards him. Listen at this. Now, when I read you this scripture, what you've got to realize here is that Paul is sitting in a Roman temple. Not a Roman temple. He's sitting in a Roman jail. He's passing on his ministry because he's looking at the guillotine. Nero's in charge and his head is fixing to be cut off. He's fixing to be dead. His earthly life is over. And listen to what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. "For I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is here." Now let me read that Christian standard. "For I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering, The time of my departure or my death is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the good course. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, but not only me, but for all of those who love and look forward to His coming. Think about that. You're sitting in a jail cell. You might have a window. You know, you might can see them when they set up the platform to where they're going to put the block where your neck's going to lay. You can hear them maybe sharpening up the blade, getting ready to chop it. But you know what? When I read this, I can't help but think that maybe Paul might have even had a smile on his face. Saying, because you know, he was tired. His body was broken up, beaten up. He wasn't able to do what he wanted to do because he wanted to be outside telling others about Jesus. He wanted to be traveling, ministry. He's writing to Timothy. He says, but you know what? It's been, notice the language too. He doesn't play it off like it's easy, but yeah. He says, I fought a good fight. He says, I've kept my course, meaning I've been on the proper course. There's not a doubt in my mind that I've been living the right life. And yes, I've had to put effort into it. I've had to put a little sweat, a little blood, a little sweat and tears that's cost me in this thing. But I've kept the faith. Because I want to know Him, and I want to lay hands on Him. And you know what He says? I'm ready. How many people you reckon in the hour of death can look at death and say, I'm ready? Why could he do it? Because he pressed on. When things were good, he served Jesus. When things were bad, he served Jesus. But the one thing about his life that never changed is his goal. And that's Jesus. To know Him and to lay my hands on Him. Every day I wake up, He's got a purpose here. You know that every day that you wake up, God's got a reason for you to be alive. You may not understand it. You may not realize it. But if your goal is to know Jesus, then you'll go through your day trying to do two things. Honor Him and benefit His kingdom by blessing others. That's what it'll be. And we do it. Why? Because it's easy right now? No. Why would you want to go and be around someone that's hurting, that you love, and you know they're not longer for this world? Why would you do that? Because it's worth it. And it's not goodbye. You see, pressing on. How many of you have ever had to wake up in the morning and with everything in you, kick yourself out of bed to go to work? Amen. Amen. That's right. A big amen. How many of you sometimes today get that feeling about living? Amen. Serving Jesus. Amen. Making the effort for Him. Sometimes it feels like it takes everything you got just to get up and come on Wednesday night, don't it? To get up on and watch it on TV. And see, now your body's done got used to it too, because it'll fight against you too. But you know what? You got to make up your mind and say, I'm pressing on. I may not feel like it, but I'm pressing on. May not like it, but I'm pressing on. Why? Because I got a goal. You know what? We're going to make it through 2000. We're going to make it through 2021. I mean, through 2020. 2021, we're going to have an awesome one. And can I tell you this? Things are not terrible neither. Things are good. Listen to this. This is what I want to end with. Listen to this. Already. We have two candidates for baptism, three candidates for membership. We'll be ordaining a new deacon in January. And in January 2021, that month is going to be membership month. Because praise God, we did make it and have made it through 2021. And we need to stand up and come together, those that are members, and say, we're not going backwards. We're going forward from this point. There's some others. You've been coming here for a while. It's time for you to be a member here as well. Guess what? You're probably going to get a phone call. Because we believe God's called you here to care. Hey, think about how the devil's fought. What is God about to do around here? Is that not amazing to me? I'm thinking about that. God is fixing to break loose, Brother Frank. I mean, if the devil's doing this hard to try to get our folks on the sideline, then what in the world is the Lord about to do around Thomas Village Baptist Church? That's why he's bringing some of y'all in here. Because he's fixing to do something awesome. That's why 2021 January, that's going to be membership month. So just expect it. We're going to give you the sales pitch, buddy. How you doing? Good to have you. Got some Tupperware, free gift. No, I'm playing. I'm just playing. Hey, light it into the tunnel. We're going to get through this. We're going to press on. You know what? There's going to come a day we're going to feel like singing louder. There's going to be a day we feel like running around the church. There's going to be a day we feel like hand bouncing and all this other stuff. But until then, we're going to go on in Jesus' name, and we're going to press on. We're going to forget it, because once it's done happening, there ain't nothing we can do about it. All we can do is move from this point forward. Amen. So an invitation this morning, I want everybody to have their opportunity to deal with Jesus. Here's the invitation. Number one, if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, today's the day, and I would love to show you what the Bible says about that. Whether you're on Facebook, in the parking lot, in here, I want you to let us know, and we'll get back in touch with you. Maybe you've backslidden. It's been an easy time to backslid, to find some comfort, some peace, and something else right now. These past 8 or 9 months, it's very easy. But praise God, His arms are easy too, and He's ready to carry you. And maybe today you're like me. It's been a tough week. And if there's any time you were going to give up, it would probably be now. But you ain't going to give up, because Jesus has got you. He's not going to let you give it up. You know what I mean? He's holding on to you. You don't have to hold on to Him. That's why there was only one set of footprints, remember? But I want you to know the altar's open. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And this is where I'm at right now. I'm going to sing you this song, and this is where I'm in. And if you want to come pray, you come and pray. But you'll know this song, and if you know it, you sing it with me, okay? I'm only human. I'm just a poor man. Help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, living below, that it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, clouding my mind. So, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Raise your hands, come to the altar. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Give me the strength to do every day what I need to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. Let's do the chorus one more time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from. Glory, hallelujah. Give me the strength to do every day what I need to do. Yesterday is gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Pressing on, forgetting that which is behind, because my goal is to know Him and to lay hands on Him. Brother Frank, if you want to close us out in a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a brief business meeting, Lord willing, less than 10 minutes if you need to go. But there will only be one vote, okay? So that's the good thing. Brother Frank, God bless you. I love y'all.